morning. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM here in Marion, Ohio. This is Glenn Coble, and I'm bringing you a program I like to call A Progressive View. I was just listening to that interview, and I think there are a lot of things that Marion has to do to become progressive, and that's what it sounds like we want to do here in Marion, is progress, move forward, take a step forward. We struggle to do that, and I was just talking with a gentleman here in the studio that one of the problems with taking a step forward, and one of the impetuses that pushes people to move and make their community better, and by the way, the making the community better is progressive. Anyway, the way to do this, and I've looked at an awful lot of communities that have gotten better and better. I did this a long time ago when I was taking a class about Marion, Marion leadership class, which was a great class, and they still do it. And I highly recommend that if you have the opportunity to join that class, do that. It's taught by professors out at the OSUM. If you have the opportunity, take that class because it'll give you a lot of background on Marion. But one of the things that I found in my kind of semi-research that I did on what made smaller towns great or made them move forward or made them more attractive, one of the things I found is that most of the communities had a very fertile and vibrant upper education background basis. We have Marion Tech, we have OSUM, and both of those places are growing, but they're growing pretty slowly. I hope they continue to grow. I like the idea that they're bringing students onto campus. That will help. Most of the place I'm thinking of the Triangle in North Carolina. That was pretty small potatoes several years ago. Yes, I still have my cold. Anyway, one of the things they did a long time ago is start to emphasize education. And I believe that educating for education's sake only, or educating for tests, I find kind of a waste of time. But educating for learning and develops pride in your community, and develops it cultivates better thinking and more learning and more desire to learn, and that cultivates companies coming to your area because you have a intelligent workforce, the more community or the more industries that decide you have a cultural workforce, the more industries will move to the town, and the more industries that move to town, the more money you'll have in your coffers for needed infrastructure and needed police and fire and so forth. And there will be more pride. And pride is something that is the key to making a community more vibrant, as far as I'm concerned. And without education, there is no pride. If we just all sit on our couches and watch the Roadrunner, we're not going to get anywhere. And I think we need to develop an attitude of that we are Marion, and we're proud to be Marionites, and we are educated, and we are, and I don't mean you have to be formally educated. You can have a sixth grade education and be an intelligent person, and you have to think. And I've been saying this for as many weeks as I've been doing this the radio show. We have to think critically. We have to start thinking what's best for all of us, not what's best for me. What's best for me usually gets you government like we have right now. And I don't believe that's the way we should go. Anyway, I kind of got off what I was going to talk about, but quite frankly, what I was going to talk about is off the wall. Anyway, I woke up Friday morning, I guess probably. I took the dog out at 3:30, which is her time to go out and piddle. And she got me up, and so once I was awake, and she didn't want to go back to sleep right away. She needed a little cuddling and a little snuggling and stuff. So once I got her down from going to the bathroom, I was awake, wide awake, and started worrying about the show today. And I probably put 2 or 3 hours. I think I finally got to sleep about 5:30, maybe 6 o'clock. Yeah, it's closer to 6. So what I did is I started thinking about, well, what I'm going to talk about on Monday. And I do this every week now. It's kind of the good and the bad of doing a radio show. You start thinking about it during the week, and you start doing some research during the week, and then you can't sleep. So anyway, I started thinking about it, and one of the things I decided that today was going to be one of those free-for-all days, one of those days where I talk about just about everything I think about. But I did want to continue our format where I talk about who I am and who I not that I'm that I'm not trying to be egocentric. I am, but I'm not trying to. It'll help you get to know where I'm coming from, and if that helps you understand me, then maybe it's a good thing. One of the things I did when I was younger, in between jobs, as you all know now after listening to my show for a while, I came from the world of intercollegiate athletics, and you do tend to get fired occasionally in intercollegiate athletics when a new president comes to town or new athletic director comes to town or something like that. And in between jobs one time, a friend of mine down in Athens, Don Wood, offered me a job selling a car. He said, "You'd be a great salesman." I said, "Why do you think I'll be a great salesman?" "Oh, you're honest. People love an honest salesman." And I have a bone to pick with him about that. But anyway, I started selling cars for Don Wood Ford. And he had, I don't know, 6 or 7 lines, but I sold Fords. And I wasn't very good at it. I was good at it. I just didn't make any money at it. Let's put it that way. The way salesmen make money in the car business is you make 25% of the profit over what the dealership makes on the car. So, like, it had gotten very popular that people would look online, find out what the invoice price on the car was. If they're buying a new car, they'd find out what the invoice price was, and they'd come in and offer you $100 over invoice. Well, $100 over invoice meant my paycheck would be $25. You got to sell an awful lot of cars if you're only making $25. And I did. I was in my 50s then, and I did tend to attract a lot of older customers because I guess I had a honest face. And they would come to me, and so I had a lot of older folks that knew the value of a dime and had looked up, done their homework before they came in, and I sold a lot of cars at $100 over invoice. excuse me. I sold so many cars that one year I was I can't remember what the award was. They gave me a plaque for being a Ford Legend dealer. I think that's what it was. I sold the most number of Fords, new Fords, in Southwest Ohio. I guess that goes from Columbus south and west and probably covers an awful lot of a cow country, but still, I won that award because I sold so many new Fords. I didn't sell a lot of used cars, unfortunately, and that's where the money is. The one new used car I sold and made the most amount of money on was to a friend of my daughter's who had gone to high school with my daughter. And I sold it to her, and I made about $1,000 on it. So I must have had a $4,000 profit in the car, unbeknownst to me. And the way that worked is my sales manager kind of played a game on me and told me that the amount of money that we had put into the car was way higher than I thought. And so, therefore, I couldn't go below such and such a rate, and so I didn't. And so we sold it to this young lady at a pretty high markup. And to this day, I'm a little embarrassed about that. But the car worked out fine for her, and she drove it a long time. So I guess things were okay. I just didn't learn the rules of the game. I learned the rules. I just didn't like to play them. The key was to sell the car at a way higher rate than you had paid for it, so you make some money. anyway, I did enjoy the opportunity to talk with a lot of people. Several dozens of people every month would come in and we'd talk, and I'd sell them a car or I'd not sell them a car, but we had good conversation, and I do like good conversation. Whether I'm right or wrong, I like to talk. That's why I'm doing this radio show. But anyway, I wanted to tell you also, the way the car business is, it's kind of, well, you know, the people in the car business will tell you this is a lie, but I watched it, and it took me 2 years to learn it. In both years, I think I made about $22,000. That was not enough to live on. That's why I got out of that. But anyway, I'm not going to tell you who, but one of the leaders at the dealership was in charge of paying us and making sure that the salespeople got their payment. And he decided, we had an opportunity. We were selling, this was back in late 1990s or early 2000s. The Ford came out with a Ford Thunderbird. And they were selling at amazingly high prices. And I had the opportunity. I had a gentleman call me. He said, I want one if you can get it in a certain color. And I'll pay whatever price it is. And so I told him. And we had marked it up about $10,000 over what we were going to pay for it. So I was going to get $2,500. And I definitely liked that idea. And he agreed to come in and buy it. We had the car. I won't tell you how you get the cars when you don't have them in your dealership. You haggle with another dealership to bring it over to you. Anyway, I had it all arranged, and he said, I'll head down that way. And he was from up here, and so he was coming from, actually, we got it from Reichert, I believe. And so he was going to drive right by where we were bringing it from. Anyway, this person who was in charge came to me and said, well, you know, we're not going to pay you $2,500 for any car. I said, but that's the rules. That's what you told me. We're not going to do it. We're not in the business of giving away money. Well, that's the rules. 25% of what we're making. He wouldn't do it. I called the guy up and I said, well, that car is at Reichert and I'll arrange that you can get it there. And despite they were going to give me something, but they weren't going to give me anywhere near what they owed me. And so despite my nose, I cut off I told him to go to Reichert and told him where it was. I called Reichert and Reichert delivered it. Anyway, so the moral of the story is I'm not very smart, but I am vindictive. Anyway, The selling of the cars is kind of a lesson. We had one salesman. I'm going to tell you this story. This is kind of fun. We had one salesman, and I would say he was a nice word I can't find for him. He was a drunk. He was a nice man, a very nice man when he was sober. But he was a drunk, and he sold a lot of cars at bars. So if you're ever out at a bar and some car salesman comes up to you, put your wallet away. Be careful. Anyway, he sold a lot of cars at bars. But one night, he was so drunk that he got a DUI on his bicycle. He was a wonderful guy. He really was. He was a very, very nice guy. But couldn't handle the alcohol, and probably shouldn't have been handling the alcohol. We had another guy, the guy that had the most sales at the dealership, and he made, I think the one year I recall, he made $109,000, and that was back a ways. So $109,000 was real money. He had no compunction about telling the truth. He would tell you whatever it took. And I know that a lot of car dealers will tell you that doesn't go on. Believe me, when the money comes to talk, there are people that don't care. The truth is lost. Again, another lesson we are learning more and more with our current government. Why tell the truth if you can make some money? One of the things I fought when I was running for office is all the money in politics. Anyway, let me get back to my little notes in my phone. One of the things that started my thinking process on Friday night was the Golden Rule. Now, let me read to you what the Golden Rule is. It's Matthew 12, verse 7, in case you want to look it up. And therefore, all things whatsoever ye would what men... therefore, all things whatsoever ye would what men should do to you, do you even to them, for this is the laws and the prophets. In other words, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And I was brought up, like I've told you many times, by a Methodist minister and his wife who believed totally in the Golden Rule. And I have always thought the Golden Rule is the way to live. I try to do it every day. I try to apply the Golden Rule to my life. But the more I thought about it on Friday night, the more I realized, and I have a lot of friends that have told me I'm a fool because I believe that, and I think I convinced myself on Friday night, yeah, that's probably true. I must be a fool. If you treat everybody as you want to be treated, that's good. But do they treat you the way they would want to be treated? And if they don't, that's bad. But how do you respond to that if they do? Well, I know the Bible says you turn the other cheek. But how many times can you turn the other cheek? And so that started me thinking. People have been put to death for being heretics, for their beliefs that were later proved to be true. And so therefore, do we know what is honest? Do we know how we should treat other people? What do you do if this person that you're going to treat with the Golden Rule, what do we do if that person wants to harm us? Do you allow them to harm you? Do you cry? What do you do? Well, the more I thought about it on Friday night, the more I realized we really need to be able to stand up for ourselves. We need not, and if you take that to the farthest extension, that's when we come down with owning 14 AK-47s, and I'm going to shoot you before you shoot me, and the laws, stand your ground laws, and things like that. But all that seems to me to do is kill people. It doesn't seem to benefit our society, and that's what I was trying to think through on Friday night. And believe me, I was thinking hard. There was smoke coming out of my ears. Do you protect yourself? And how do you protect yourself? And therefore, how do you protect your family? The extension of protecting yourself is protecting your family. Well, you can do it with weapons. You can do it with laws. You can do it with firm resolve. And that's kind of what I decided we needed to do. But firm resolve doesn't all. If somebody wants to shoot you, your firm resolve that they're not going to shoot you isn't going to make much difference. So I don't know. Friday night was a tough night for me. I decided the best I could do was try to be strong. And I've said this all along in this show, is that we need to be brave. And I don't mean heroically brave like some fireman running into a burning building and saving a little child, or some staff sergeant running up a hill and taking out a machine gun nest, or for that matter, a private. I happened to be a staff sergeant when I was in the Army, so that's what I thought of. Anyway, the way, if you are brave and you are forthright and you are honest, that'll go a long way. It won't go all the way, I'm afraid. There are people that I believe, now you may tell me, and if you want to call in and tell me I'm a fool, the number is 740-383-9944, which happens to be 383-WWGH, which is the call letters of the radio station. But if you think I'm a fool, which a lot of people do, it's the way I think. And that led me, I started thinking about that. That led me to another thought, that the way I think isn't wrong. The way I think is maybe different than the way you think. The way I think is based on critical analysis, I believe, but my critical analysis is sometimes short of the mark. I don't know enough facts to know whether I'm right or wrong. We all have a right to think, and we must think. We have to learn to think about things, to quit spouting off things that are just, I hate the term talking points, but that's what they become. Somebody made them up so that you sound like you're smart and you can spout them off in one sentence, and there is no thought behind it except for it sounds right. So anyway, we need that critical thought. We need bravery, we need critical thought, and we need empathy. And empathy is something we are very short of right now. Empathy is where you put yourself in the other person's position, and you know what they feel. So you know you can abide by the golden rule because you know how mean words hurt people. Which led me to starting to think of, why do we say mean words about other people? That is totally anti-golden rule. And I know that most of you, when you grew up, were told by your parents what the golden rule was and that you should live by the golden rule. It's just the way at least Americans seem to be brought up. But if that is true, why do we have so much racism in the United States? Why do we have so much homophobia in the United States? Why do we have so much nasty talk about other people who are different in the United States? Well, it's because it makes the person who's talking, It makes them feel like they're more important. When in fact, you will become more important if you encourage all people to love you and to agree with you. They don't even have to agree with you. If you can find a way to listen to other people that you disagree with. I try to do this every time. I have a friend who's a pretty devout racist, and I've told him many times I'm going to change you before I leave the coils of this life, and I haven't changed him yet, but we keep talking about it, and my contention is you need to remain friendly, civil, open to listening to his arguments or the other person's arguments. I know it's hard to do, and sometimes you just want to smack him. and sometimes he or she wants to smack you, and that's fine. That's the way, I guess that's being an animal, and you do realize that we are all animals. We are very short from the chromosomes that turned us from an ape into a man. We don't have a very long walk on that path. We do know how to talk, and sometimes I think the talking gets us in more trouble than if we had never learned how to talk. I consider myself an agnostic. As a matter of fact, it depends on the day. I consider myself an atheist some days. And I do have friends that say, aren't you afraid you're going to hell? And no, I'm not afraid I'm going to hell. I try to lead my life as a Christian would lead their life. So if I'm going to hell, apparently God's kind of a hypocrite. Because I'm doing what I was told by the Bible to do. And I really do try to do that. We all fall short. We know that. But anyway, I really don't know where I was going with that. But on Friday night, I knew where I was going with that. I had all sorts of ideas. Matter of fact, I thought to myself, well, this would be a good day to come out. And I don't mean that I'm gay or anything like that, but I might as well admit the fact that I am agnostic or atheistic and on the show. And so I decided I was going to do that. You know, another thing, that Friday night was one of those nights where one thought leads to another thought that has nothing to do with the first one. And one of the thoughts was, you know, now that I'm older, how do I make myself better? Well, then I started thinking, I'm not unhappy with the way I am. There are other people, I'm sure, that are. But, you know, as you get toward the end of the marathon that we call life, you start to think about things like, you remember when you were 14 years old and you really, really wanted to be good looking, or you really, really thought that you should be a great athlete, or you had all these thoughts and promises that you were making to yourself. But as you get close to the end, you realize they weren't important at all. At least that's the way I feel. I feel the most important thing in life is that you treat other people kindly and that you treat yourself kindly and that you try to live as honestly as you can. Those are kind of my core values now, and they didn't used to be. I used to be one of the best liars that my mother ever listened to. I would tell her whatever she wanted to hear. And we have a lot of people that do that very well right now. Those thoughts were causing my little brain to go crazy. I wondered to myself, why do so many people tell others what to do and what to believe? I still don't understand that. Why should you tell somebody else that you shouldn't be gay or homosexual or whatever you want to call it? Why should you tell somebody else that you should like African Americans, or that you should like Japanese people, or that you should like somebody who's different than you are. As a matter of fact, my father, who I revered, and I've quite often thought he had no prejudices at all, but I do recall my father, and I remember my dad grew up during World War II. I do remember my father calling the Japanese people Japs, and that was a pejorative name for Japanese people. I remember going out and playing soldiers with my buddies, and the bad guys were the, I can't remember what we called the Germans, but it was a bad term, even though I was German, or my family was. My feeling was, on Friday night, my feeling was that if we are good to each other and ourselves, then we don't really have a right to judge other people. And if we do try to judge other people, what does that mean? That puts you, does that mean that you are God? I think that if you look at most religions, they leave judgment up to God, or judgment up to the deity that's in charge. They don't give people judgment. So therefore, if you are a person, I have a friend who had an abortion because of health reasons. She would have died had she carried the child to term. People hated that she did that. Now, obviously, she didn't spread the word around about that, but there are people that hate that type of thing. And my feeling is, and I think her feeling was, if she had done wrong in the eyes of God, he would judge her, and nobody else had a right to judge her. And I believe that to be true. I don't believe any of us have a right to judge other people. Now, we do have laws, and we do have to abide by the laws, and we will be judged by a jury or by a judge, and that's part of our legal system. I'm talking about judging people for things that are not laws. They're choices and decisions. And no matter what anybody says right now, after several years of Roe versus Wade, abortion is not against the law. Anyway, that's my opinion. And obviously, that's why I consider myself progressive. And I think one of the problems that Marion right now has is we are such a, and Ohio for that matter, we are such a reactionary community that we don't want to move forward. We want to go back. Now, I guarantee you, I lived back. I'm old enough now. I was actually, and I know this because my father told me so, I was conceived on Victory in Japan Day. So that now you can do some adding and subtracting, and you can figure out exactly how old I am. And if you want to send gifts, May 27th. Anyway, the good old days weren't as good old days as you think. In the good old days, back in the before the 60s, the highest tax rate was 90%. It's now 35 or 37, whatever it is. In the good old days, people smoked a lot. And look how many actors and actresses have passed away from lung cancer. In the good old days, our livelihood, we would live until our, well, it depends on how far you go back, but when I was a young person, 65 was about when most people expected to shake off the coils of life. Now it's, I believe I saw in some, in one country, Spain. In Spain, the average life expectancy is 84. And by the way, in the good old days, the United States used to have one of the best records on life expectancy. My wife told me this morning, she looked it up, and I think it was, we were 45th or 46th, something like that. With most of the European countries and many of the Scandinavian countries and many of the socialistic countries having much higher longevity. I know that that isn't a reason to turn our government into a socialistic government. However, we are about halfway there anyway, and always have been, because we believe in taking care of our fellow citizens. Or at least I hope we do. I'm looking back at my phone because now I have pretty much exhausted all the things I was thinking about on Friday night. And Friday night was a rough night for me, believe me. I did enjoy thinking that much. I always enjoy thinking. I'm not a real good reader because I've been told by a physician that I have a little bit of dyslexia. So I get very tired when I read, but I love to listen and watch. And that's kind of where I get my learning from. Going back, sorry about that. I was thinking about ideas. Back when I was young, it was against the rules on television and radio. You could not advertise politicians, I believe. You couldn't advertise medicines. You couldn't advertise lawyers. There were several prohibitions on what you could and could not say on radio and television. I'm not so certain that's a bad idea. if we had prohibitions against politics on radio and television, it wouldn't cost as much to be a politician, and therefore you wouldn't have to raise as much money, and therefore there wouldn't be so much graft and corruption in our government. That money brings into the government, and all you have to do is read the current newspaper. I have a phone call. Let me pull this person in. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a couple questions.
Sure.
I listened, and I haven't heard any questions, but I heard something about. Was you a coach at one time?
No, I was assistant athletic director at two universities.
You mentioned something about the Final Four?
Yeah. One of my first duties when I first got into athletics, I was with DePaul University, and we went to the Final Four. And you may, if you're old enough, you might remember the Final Four because it was the Final Four when Larry Bird faced off against Magic Johnson.
Well, I don't know how old I was then, but I'm 77 now.
Oh, you were old enough because I'm 72.
and I know that Larry Bird, he was one terrific player.
He was.
There's a lot of terrific players, but you only remember them just a little ways past the season, and then the publicity they get later on, and so on and so forth.
I'm exactly that way.
My attitude's about like I've listened to you, but the saying is all men are created equal. I think they have to throw women in there now, be legal.
Absolutely.
Anyhow.
Well, to be honest, they have to throw it in there, not just to be legal.
Yeah, and so everybody's got a place in this world, and when you was talking there about dislikes and likes and why they can't get along, it's the way I believe in. I always believe in that code, the first hour of the Bible, too. do unto others as you have them do unto you.
Yep.
My mother always taught me that.
That's true.
It's a good thing. If you listen to it, it's a good thing. But you don't have to give in and kiss their foot or nothing like that. But you can go along. And the way I've learned later on in life, there's people that maybe you don't approve what they do or what this or that. That's an easy one to get by. And after I learned it and after I studied it in my own brain and do what you're supposed to do, thinking what you're supposed to think, is you can tolerate them.
Yes.
But that, just go ahead and go on about your thing and don't discuss anything right or wrong with them. Just, you can tolerate them. You know, you can still say hi, bye, or
yep,
wave at them or something like that. But, and then for somebody shooting you, well, hey, I've always been taught you just don't hang out with them kind of
people. That is a good answer. That,
so
you and I'd be good friends, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was going to ask you, what was your last name, your pronunciation, or your last name?
Koble. It's just like I tell my friends this, and it's like Noble, only it's with a C. So I'm Noble Koble. That's not true, but I try to be.
Koble, and your first name, Gene?
Glenn, G-L-E-N-N.
Oh, Glenn, okay.
Yeah.
And you grew up? Where?
I grew up in, I've told it on the air, I have lived in 21 houses or apartments.
I caught that the other day.
Yeah, I call probably South Bend, Indiana is where I was raised as a whippersnapper. Valparaiso,
yeah.
Indiana is where I was raised as a young person. Then we moved over here, and Athens then probably is my third hometown, and my fourth hometown now is Marion.
And how long you lived in Marion?
Let's see, I came here in 04, so however, 15 years.
You're just a piker.
I am a piker.
I come here in 41, so I graduated from high school in 59, so 60 years out of school. What all I thought I learned in school, what... I don't know nothing about anything.
Well, you know, I think that was what I learned on Friday night. I don't know anything about anything.
Well, I think you do a very good job. So
thank you.
Staff, quit worrying about Friday night and get those programs. And are you on just once a week?
Yeah, I'm on Monday. I may be on this coming Thursday because I'm not sure yet whether Charlie is going to be on the air. But they may have me sit in for Charlie for a couple hours from 10 to noon. But, and we're talking about maybe doing some sports in the fall. I don't know. I may do some of that because that's kind of what I did. I was a broadcaster
I'd love to
years.
Hear you be a broadcaster. I've heard of broadcasters here in Marion, and they kind of run the young people down. Like I've heard them say, oh, that was stupid out of them throwing the ball over here.
You will never hear me say that because I was one of those young people that threw the ball the wrong place or didn't catch the ball. So.
I played sports all my life, too, and everything. And our son and grandson, his All-American grandson, he won the state.
Fantastic.
In the 400 meter.
Fantastic.
In 09.
I'll
so
be darned.
He was down there at Jesse Owens Stadium. That was a pretty neat place.
That is neat. That's
your grandson win the 400 meter, you know. Hey, I'll get back with you some other time. I know you're going to get cut off here, but
yep.
I'll see you maybe later in the week.
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, Glenn.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a nice call. That was really nice to have somebody reaffirm kind of what I was thinking about. Now, I don't want anybody to believe that I know the answers. I'm just thinking about the answers, and that's what I encourage all of you to do. Start thinking. Don't jump to conclusions just because a person's skin is black or just because a person thinks of sex as different than you. As long as he doesn't hurt somebody else, as long as they don't denigrate somebody else, they're a good person, and they have the right to believe that. Have a great day. This is Glenn Koble. You've been listening to a Progressive Life.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. from Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott! Oh, wow! Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you, this morning I did something different. Yesterday we were outside with the protesters, so today I made sure we got here a little earlier, got through the checkpoints, and I am actually calling you from Cleveland, Ohio, Republican National Convention, inside. I am sitting right now inside the Quicken Loans Arena, looking at the Oregon delegation from the rafters.
No kidding, you're among the seats.
I am in the seats right now. I can see Oregon and Indiana and New Hampshire. I am in the arena.
Wow. Say, Scott, were you there last night for Cruz?
I was, and let me tell you, one of the discussions yesterday certainly was on the division feeling here at the Republican National Convention, and if the booze is in with something last, I should have heard the booze in this arena.
No kidding.
To Republican candidate for president, Donald Trump.
We welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.
I have to tell you, I have not slept.